W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. President Biden discussed unidentified aerial objects today at the White House. CBS's Stephen Portnoy has details.
The president said it's the current assessment of the intelligence community that the three objects he ordered shot out of the sky within the last week did not belong to China.
These three objects were most likely balloons tied to private companies, recreation or research institutions studying weather, or conducting other scientific research.
As for the larger Chinese spy balloon, Mr. Biden says he'll be talking that over with Xi Jinping.
And I hope we're going to get to the bottom of this, but I make no apologies for taking down that balloon.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, the White House.
White House doctors say President Biden remains fit for duty and can fully execute all of his responsibilities without any exemptions. Mr. Biden was cleared after a three-hour physical today at Walter Reed. Meantime, Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman is there now getting treated for severe depression. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Fetterman checked himself into Walter Reed National Military Medical Center for treatment for depression. The statement says Fetterman has experienced depression on and off throughout his life, but that it became severe in recent weeks. The statement also says they expect Fetterman will, quote, soon be back to himself.
Shocking revelations in a grand jury report in Georgia on efforts to overturn the 2020 election. The jury there found no evidence of fraud and says one or more witnesses committed perjury. They're urging prosecutors to press charges. Residents in East Palestine, Ohio are complaining of health problems and they're worried about their water following a toxic train derailment. CBS's Roxana Saberi.
Resident Melissa Blake says 2 days after the derailment, doctors diagnosed her with acute bronchitis from chemical fumes.
They quarantined me. They gave me a breathing treatment. They had to put me on oxygen. They were going to wash my clothes because they didn't know what was on me.
One of the chemicals on the train, vinyl chloride, is classified as a carcinogen.
The head of the EPA toured the site today. The suspected shooter who killed 7 people in Half Moon Bay, California last month has pleaded not guilty.
Xunli Zhao entered the not guilty plea to all charges, including counts of first-degree murder. The 66-year-old defendant stood behind a glass partition. He spoke through a Mandarin interpreter. Zhao allegedly opened fire, killing 5 people at a mushroom farm where he once worked. 2 others were killed nearby.
That's CBS's Steve Futterman. Severe weather, including tornadoes, is now threatening millions of people down south. Thomas Witherspoon is in Memphis.
Pay attention to the weather. If I need to, get to a safe room in my house, the bathroom, and around away from any windows, and make sure that me and my family are safe.
Winter storm warnings are in effect across the Midwest today. At least 8 inches of snow have fallen so far in Iowa. This is CBS News.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Conditions going from bad to worse on the freeways in and around Milwaukee. A few stretches of interstate were shut down as of midday. They include I-43 northbound, the Cedarburg exit, I-41-94 northbound in Racine County, and 2 southbound lanes of I-41-94 in Oak Creek. Governor Evers says he wants Wisconsin workers to have up to 3 months of paid family and medical leave. It's part of his proposed budget for the next 2 years that spends nearly $104 billion.
Doing what's best for our kids is what's best for our state and what's best for our families and workforce, too.
Lawmakers now rewrite and pass the budget that then goes back to Evers. The new budget is due to take effect in July. In sports, Marquette beat Xavier with a last-second shot last night, 69-68. The Bucks are at Chicago tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Earl Ingram.
I mean, for heaven's sakes, anybody who's heard Congresswoman Bobart from Colorado and Marjorie Taylor Greene and others, you just have to ask the question, if I'm a Republican, why would I continue to support that foolishness?
Asking the tough questions, searching for the answers we're all looking for. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Social Security account. Get yours today, because someday is here at socialsecurity.gov.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Tonight, we have a special show here tonight on an update with the free Leonard Peltier. And we say that at the end of each show. And I just want to give a quick shout out to one of our supporters here, Minsure. This portion is brought to you by Minsure. If you need healthy insurance, Minsure has a plan that covers your family's doctors and visits. Visit mnsure.org and find free help. So again, thank you so much, Minsure, for supporting us and these things that we talk about here. Hey, I have Rachel Thunder here with me, and who's with American Indian Movement, and also was one of the leaders, and I always say the leader, of the Leonard Peltier Walk for Freedom. And we also have Kevin Sharp on tonight, the lawyer for Leonard Peltier. And I just want, before we get going here, I just want to read just the first paragraph here of an article that was sent to me by Rachel. It says, the FBI's repeated opposition of the release of Leonard Peltier is driven by vindictiveness and misplaced loyalties, according to former senior agent close to the case, FBI agent close to the case, who is the first agency insider to call for clemency for the indigenous rights activist who has been held in the U.S. maximum security prison for almost five decades. And Rachel, come on here. I want you to kind of take over the show here, because this is a I'll let you take over just a little bit, but let's talk about what's going on and the excitement that I feel like is in the air. So I welcome you two and welcome Rachel.
Rachel Thunder. Hello, and thank you for having us on the show. I am Plains Cree, Nihio Nihiowak Treaty 6. My name is Rachel Thunder, and like Robert mentioned, I was the lead organizer for the Walk to Justice, which was a 1,103-mile walk that we just completed in November. We started on September the 1st here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and walked to Washington, D.C. to advocate and raise awareness to the case of Leonard Peltier and this continued injustice that now has been happening now for five decades. And so, you know, me and Robert stay in touch to, you know, get updates and news and some of the work that continues to happen behind the scenes for Clemency for Elder Peltier. And so we wanted to invite Kevin Sharp on, who's Leonard Peltier's lawyer. And I'm going to let Kevin introduce himself. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Robert, for having us on the show again. It's really important to keep getting the word out there, make sure no one forgets that Leonard's there, right? After 48 years, nearly 50 years, a lot of his supporters have moved on and have died, or, you know, and there's a whole new group of people that need to learn this story. So I'm a former federal judge, now practicing law again in Nashville, Tennessee. And I came across this case, wasn't that familiar with it. When the events happened, I was 12. I was 12 years old when Pine Ridge happened in 75. And unless you live in that world, you don't really hear about it. And I didn't know the history. I didn't know really about the events. And the file was sent to me. And I read that and digested that file as a former federal judge and as a lawyer who had taken an oath to support and defend the Constitution. That then, as I read through that, just kind of floored me that this was happening and continued to happen, right? I understood the history of the FBI and its misconduct across this country back in the 60s and 70s. Really didn't think that it was still going on to that extent. And, boy, was I wrong. And this article where FBI agent Colleen Rowley has come out could not be more of an insider. She's an insider's insider to understand the workings of the FBI. I think, you know, I understood the workings of the criminal justice system and the federal judiciary. And so that gave me a unique insight into what was happening and helped me really understand immediately the misconduct. And you know, that got me worked up. Colleen Rowley, Agent Rowley, understands the working of the FBI. And that's what makes this so important. So sorry, Rachel, you said introduce myself. It's hard for me to separate who I am from what I do at this point, because Leonard's case has really consumed me. Mm-hmm. And partly because it's Leonard and partly because of what it represents across this nation. So it really is who I am now at this point, for better or for worse.
I completely understand that and empathize with that, Kevin. And I want to stay on topic too. You know, and Robert read that opening paragraph of the article that came, I believe, from The Guardian. And so that interview, you know, when you told me at first that Colleen Rowley, this retired FBI agent from the Minneapolis field office back in the day, was, you know, willing to have a conversation, and then that Nick Estes with the Red Nation and a committee member of the Leonard Peltier Defense Committee was going to interview her, you know, I was pretty surprised. But it was a pleasant surprise. And I don't know if, Robert, if you've had a chance to watch that interview, or our audience who's listening in right now, you can watch that interview. It's on YouTube. And then it's also posted on the Leonard Peltier Walk to Justice page. And there's different articles and things that you can find to find that link. But, you know, there was a few things in that interview that I really found not surprising, but interesting and refreshing to actually hear it said by a retired FBI agent that was in a field office during that time. When she's first introducing herself, you know, she was talking about like the reasons that she joined the FBI, and she brought up the word justice. And this word has been echoing around in my life now for a couple of years, you know, because we hosted the Walk to Justice, and, you know, we were asking for justice for Leonard Peltier through Clemency, but we were also asking for justice for our people, for Indigenous people, and for all people. And, you know, she cited justice as the reason that she joined the FBI, that she was, you know, kind of fed this narrative of noble causes. But as she slowly, completed her career until she retired, she said that, you know, she goes through this interview and she lists these systemic policies that were flawed, and that organizationally that they were on the wrong track, and, you know, talks about all of these different flaws in the FBI. And, you know, one of the biggest points to me that she, you know, goes into is that basically, you know, as government employees, as appointed agency officials, that they should not be able to legally to spend time lobbying because they're under taxpayer dollars. And, you know, so you have this system, government institution that is going against their reduced First Amendment rights and not having equal justice in how some of their employees and agents are held accountable versus people like Leonard Peltier. And we can go a little bit more after the break.
Yeah, right on. Oh, you're getting good at this, Rachel. She knows breaks coming up. Awesome. Hey, this is a special show tonight. Free Leonard Peltier. We're with Kevin Sharp, lawyer for Leonard Peltier, Rachel Thunder with American Indian Movement, and big supporter with the Leonard Peltier Walk for Justice. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Thanks to everyone who has supported AM950 for the last 3 years. Good news, the AM950 2023 calendar is ready to go, featuring photos I took around Minnesota and important progressive dates. If you sign up to become a member with a one-time $50 membership or recurring monthly membership of $10, you'll receive a 2023 AM950 calendar as a thank you gift. Go to am950radio.com to become a member and receive a calendar. That's am950radio.com. Thank you so much for supporting AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion of Native Roots Radio is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. And, you know, Leonard's been fighting for many, many years, and this is a special edition of Native Roots Radio, Free Leonard Peltier Update. I have Leonard Peltier's lawyer, Kevin Sharp, and Rachel Thunder with the American Indian Movement, and also the leader of the Leonard Peltier Walk for Justice. And this is a really exciting show for me. You know, I feel like Rachel and Kevin, that we had a lot of momentum in the early 90s about freeing Leonard. Leonard was on 60 Minutes. There was documentaries. You know, actors and activists were into it. And, you know, we even had a movie kind of based on AIM and Leonard, Thunderheart, that I just watched a few days ago. It's exciting that we're going through this again. And I know I had an opportunity to talk to Leonard. He called me and I got to interview him, that they're really pressing on him, and meaning that press can't go in and really talk to him like they did before. He was on 60 Minutes. And so there's just all this monkey business going on. And we have people that were part of the murder of George Floyd who were convicted of aiding and abetting and that are going to be out in 18 months. So, Mark, justice, injustice, again, welcome you guys.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the difference is, and you really hit on it, there was this movement in the 90s, but I don't think that the audience, and, you know, your audience is going to be the White House, but it's also, you know, the public out there really understood and was ready to listen to this. So much has changed. You know, for an old guy like me, the 90s seemed like yesterday, but, you know, you're talking about 25, 30 years ago that these things were happening, at least, you know, over 20, and the world has changed. I think that this country better understands the injustice that the United States committed against the indigenous peoples, and they're ready to listen to that. I think the world better understands or really has an awakening to the boarding schools. And I realize that there are people who are listening to this going, well, how did you not know about that? I mean, you know, we lived with that. It was part of our DNA, that trauma that we carry. But for those of us who weren't inside that world, we didn't hear about it. We didn't know about it. And it's all coming up again. And we now realize that Leonard and his family and his little sister were directly affected by that when they were kidnapped at 9 and his sister was 6 and experienced that horror and that trauma. So that Pine Ridge doesn't become about this 10-minute shootout. It becomes about the hundreds of years that led up to it. And the world is ready to listen to that. And I think we have a president who understands that, not completely maybe, and not the way the people who live there can understand it, but certainly better than any prior president has been able to understand that. And, you know, hopefully has a desire to fix it, at least change it. You can't fix it completely. It's been 50 years, but at least change the course that we're on. And you know, start that healing process.
Perfect. And Rachel, you know, we're on 11 stations in Wisconsin live. We're on Civic Media Network and all over Minnesota here with AM 950. And I think it's so important that you bring this up and bring Kevin to the show, because a lot of our white allies don't know the whole true story. And they are hearing it now.
I think you're on mute. There you go, Rachel.
Thanks. You know, is a good point, Robert, and it brings up a topic that, you know, we wanted to bring here to the show and to all of your listeners here in Minnesota and in Wisconsin. February the 6th this year of 2023 is going to be the 47th year anniversary of when Leonard Peltier was originally arrested. So we're talking nearly 5 decades, you know, 47 years. And in collaboration with some of the call out from the Leonard Peltier Defense Committee, we are going to be hosting a rally here in Minneapolis, Minnesota on February the 6th, 2023 at noon central at the United States District Courthouse, at the federal courthouse here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we're going to have a few speakers from the local community, myself, Nick Estes, and different people involved you know, with the movement to free Leonard Peltier. So, you know, I want to invite everybody to come and support on that day in a show of solidarity.
Yeah, that's excellent. And I definitely want to have Rachel and Kevin on again before that, too. And I plan on going down back to A Wounded Knee, too, because that's the 50th anniversary this year. And I'll be heading down there again this year. And I had the opportunity before COVID to go down there with Clyde Belcourt and got to meet you know, some great spiritual leaders, Crow Dog, who's left us too. So we have 50 years of you know, the Wounded Knee, which really is really been a hallmark for American Indian Movement, but also the movement that really preceded Standing Rock, which became an awesome movement. Rachel, what can anybody, well, I'll put this to Kevin. Kevin, what can people do? And I know Leonard talked about letters being postcards and millions. What can people that are listening do to support your efforts, but also to reach out to whomever?
Well, you know, thanks for asking that question. I saw earlier Dawn had asked a question about how Leonard's doing. He's 78 years old. He has been, you know, 48 of his 47 of his 48 years have been in a maximum security prison, not the best place for health care. Those are tough years. He's not doing well. And the White House needs to know, you know, what can people do? Call the White House, write the White House, right? Send the postcards. They listen to the constituents, right? That's what this has been about. You have a constituency of the president who has been opposed to clemency, and that's the FBI. They're an agency, but they're also a constituency. The White House and the president need to hear from the people. So anyone who is, you know, in support of Leonard needs to call the White House. They need to write the White House. They need to send emails. But they also need to do that with their federal representatives, their members of the House and the Senate, because they are also constituents of the president, and the president needs to hear from them. The U.S. members of the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives need to know that their constituents care about this. Right, we can't sit around in our houses wringing our hands talking about what a shame it is. You know, what a shame that we can't speak honestly about the inner workings of the FBI. Well, that doesn't, you know, okay, but that doesn't do any good. Someone has to know that you care. Somebody has to know that you oppose that, that you're outraged by that, that you are outraged that Leonard Peltier still sits in a maximum security prison. And that people need to understand that. Right, there are different levels of security within the Bureau of Prisons. If you're in a max, it says you are a danger. You're a danger to the community. You're a danger to other prisoners. Well, this is ridiculous. He is 78 years old and you know, uses a walker to get around. He's got an aortic aneurysm that could kill him at any moment. He's got diabetes. He's got, you know, heart conditions. He's not a danger to anyone. And so if you want to talk about vendettas, why does the Bureau of Prisons keep him classified as a maximum security threat? They know he's not. Every year they have unit managers in the particular prison that you're in, right? So he's in Coleman. There will be people who are in charge of his case. So there'll be a case manager, and there'll be a supervisor over the unit, and there'll be a counselor. Those individuals who know him best keep sending in the material to headquarters saying Leonard Peltier is not a threat. Leonard Peltier's health is such that he needs to be in a facility that can care for him, lower his classification, and let's move him. That would also give him the opportunity to take advantage of one of the benefits of the First Step Act, which is the default should be to house prisoners within 500 miles of their home, which means they could move him, if he lowered his classification, closer to the reservation, the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Reservation. Move him closer to where his friends and family live so they can visit him. Why are they not doing that? There's no rational reason for that. It's because they want to continue to punish him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the White House needs to know. If you're listening to this, if you're reading about Leonard, if you care about justice, you need to let the White House know. You need to let your senators, your representatives know. This is unacceptable and should not be tolerated in a country that seems to pride itself on its, you know, equal justice under law. I'm not seeing it in Leonard Peltier's case.
Hey, you're listening to a special edition of Native Roots Radio Free Leonard Peltier Update. I'm with the lawyer of Leonard Peltier, Kevin Sharp, and American Indian.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
CBS News Brief. President Biden says the U.S. is still looking into several unidentified aerial objects shot down by the military.
We don't yet know exactly what these three objects were, but nothing right now suggests they were related to China's spy balloon program or that they were surveillance vehicles from any other country.
In Georgia, a grand jury found no evidence of election fraud in its investigation on efforts to overturn the 2020 election in the state. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
The judge said, you know what, I'll release the introduction, the conclusion, and there's an indication that the special grand jury thinks that people who testified engaged in perjury.
The head of the EPA, Michael Reagan, is in Ohio today checking out the crash site of a train derailment that spilled tons of toxic chemicals.
Until test results are received, the Ohio Department of Health has recommended that residents use bottled water.
But he says the air is safe to breathe. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Mantner. Here's what you need to know. Money is pouring into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Candidate Janet Protasiewicz raised $2 million since beginning her campaign last year. About $300,000 of those dollars came from out of state. Protasiewicz raising more than the other three candidates combined. She's also raised more money from Wisconsin donors than any of her rivals. The primary is next week, February 21st, where two candidates will be chosen to move on to the general election in April. The Great Lakes have the lowest ice cover in 50 years. As of Wednesday, the lakes overall had just over 6.5% ice cover when it should be closer to 40%. This lack of ice cover can help create conditions for algae blooms, which can be toxic to humans and pets. These blooms appear every summer in Lake Erie in the Bay of Green Bay in Lake Michigan. Now algae blooms are happening in Lake Superior as well. I'm Jane Mantner. This is Civic Media News.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion's brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. They've been sponsoring this show for over 6 years, and we just want to give them a quick shout out. We are here. This is a special edition of Native Roots Radio tonight. It's a free Leonard Peltier update, and we're with Leonard Peltier's lawyer, and also we're here with Rachel Thunder. And Rachel, I wanted to ask you, too, what inspired you to really move this? I know people talk about it and feel about it, but you've been, the last year or two, you've been really a big doer in this Free Leonard Peltier movement.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kevin, I was, you know, born into the movement, you know, with my family, and I grew up hearing, you know, the stories of what happened and the history of it and all of the events leading up to and the status of Leonard in his case. And, you know, so I was always exposed to it. But, you know, about 2.5 years ago, I started having these dreams about Elder Peltier. And, you know, I had one, and then I would have another, and they kept coming, and all of the dreams were the same. I would always be in Leonard's prison cell with him, and he would be sitting on his bed with his face in his hands, and he wouldn't say anything to me, and I would be locked in there with him, you know, like the cell door would be shut. And I would always say, to him, you know, don't worry. Your people haven't forgotten about you. Don't worry, your people are coming to get you. And so all these dreams, you know, they kept coming. And so I prayed about them and brought the dreams into different ceremonies. And it was through those dreams and those prayers and those ceremonies that that's how the walk came to be, you know, the prayer walk that I led this fall from Minneapolis to Washington, D.C. And there's been a lot of momentum, I feel, here in the last 2 to 3 years that hasn't been here maybe in the more recent decade, maybe since the 90s that you brought up earlier. You know, and after the walk and you know, after, you know, Kevin's been involved now with the case for, you know, several years, there's a lot of momentum going on. There was a, you know, the letter that came out of the U.S. Senate with a lot of senators signing on to that letter. After the walk, we met with a lot of those different offices while we were there in D.C. at the end. You know, Kevin was there in those meetings. I was there. You know, members of the Leonard Peltier Defense Committee were there. And there's a lot of them, and I still feel that that call, or, you know, that spirit of those dreams, you know, that Leonard is going to be released, that his people are coming to get him, and that this work continues on. Even though the walk is done, it doesn't mean that prayer ended.
Right, exactly.
Well, that walk, you really, it's you don't want to underestimate the importance of that walk, too, right? It's part of this keeping Leonard's name out there, but it drew an attention to this. And I think it's part of why we feel things seem to be moving now like they have not, certainly in decades. Because there were hundreds out there. Rachel probably has a better idea of the number, but as I looked out, there were hundreds who showed, and it just was an incredible visual, but also renewed energy in the move to get Leonard out. And we went and met with members on Capitol Hill. They had heard about this. They knew about the walk. They knew about the energy that was coming to this effort to get Leonard freed, right? And you can't, there's still people and there's still politicians, right? They understand there's also this sense of let's get out in front of this parade, you know, and make sure that we're on the right side of history here. They see the movement. And so it makes it easier for the politicians to come on board. Not that they don't feel this sense of justice, But it also helps when you're going, okay, the people want this and people are willing to listen and hear this story. And I think it's also really important when someone like Colleen Rowley comes out, the former FBI agent, retired FBI agent, who's willing to be honest about that organization, right? It's an important organization, but it's also got these incredible flaws, and those flaws have hurt people. We've got to talk about that. We can't make it better if we don't talk about it. It's the same, you know, Robert, you mentioned George Floyd. Right. We have to talk about those things or we cannot solve those problems. And they are huge problems. You can't ignore them. You can't ignore Leonard Peltier and why he's there. You can't ignore the things that led up to everyone being in that place at that time and why there were three individuals killed there that day. And, you know, Joe Stuntz, the young Native American, often gets lost in this story. But he lost his life, too, that day. And his family still has to live with that pain. So we can't forget about that. And we've got to talk about that or we cannot solve this problem.
Well, you know, really good point. And I don't know, Mark or Rachel, if you can see the question that's up there. Pretty interesting. I'll just read it. With the interview of the former FBI special agent, what are your takeaways that could directly or indirectly impact the expediency of Leonard's release? Also, has there been any word regarding the petition for clemency? Thank you so much for that great question.
So I'll start with the second question first. That's a black box at the Department of Justice, right? So within the Department of Justice, there's a civil division and a criminal division. The criminal division houses the pardon attorney's office, but it also houses the FBI, the U.S. attorney's offices, and the Bureau of Prisons. And it just becomes this black box. And so we know the petition is there. Every time something like this comes out, it gives me another opportunity to engage with the pardon attorney's office to make sure they know that Agent Rowley has come out in support of clemency, to make sure they know there was this massive walk and the number of people that came and supported that. So it gives me an opportunity to stay on top of them and let them know the world is not forgetting what's happening here. So on that piece, we can only know so much about where it is. The importance, though, of Agent Rowley coming out and coming out now is really can't be overstated, because she understands the inside of that organization and she's willing to talk about it. Right? Someone needs to say, this is a vendetta. And right, we have to remember, and when I was on the bench, I would do this all the time, right? Police officers would come in and they would testify, and there would be a jury instruction to say, don't add any extra importance to what they say just because they wear a uniform. They're still people, and you have to judge them as people. Right? They don't get any special benefit or any extra, you know, benefit of the doubt because they're law enforcement. That's not how it works. And we do have to understand the FBI is made up of people, and those people can do, not all of them, certainly not all of them, can do bad things, can do something that's wrong, do something, although they're charged with ensuring justice. They do things because of a misplaced loyalty, of a misguidedness. And that's what Agent Rowley can shine a light on. And that's what, when you've got the pardon attorney's office over there on the criminal division, to let them know it's okay for us to recognize the flaws in the system. And it's okay to use this process to correct that. And it doesn't mean everybody gets wiped out and they're all terrible and, you know, get rid of the FBI because they did this terrible thing. What it says is they are human beings who are capable of doing really bad things. And we can't ignore it. We can't look away. We can't hide it. We can't become part of this code of silence. We have to expose it. We have to shine a light on it. We have to do better. And we have to fix things where we can. And that's why Agent Rowley is so important. And there's a great book out there it really helped me kind of come to terms with this code of silence, right? It causes, some agent does a bad thing, plants evidence, hides evidence, as they did in Leonard's case. And then there becomes this misplaced loyalty where good agents will then participate in that or ignore that. And that's what you have to fight. And that's why Leonard's case becomes even more important. The loyalty shouldn't be to the organization. The loyalty is to justice. And ultimately, their loyalty has to be to the Constitution. That's the oath they took. That's the oath that I took. The oath is to, you know, to support and defend the Constitution, not to make sure that I can hide the misconduct of my fellow officers. That's not how it works. The system falls apart if you do that.
You know, we have like less of a minute in this segment, and I'm wondering, does it matter that a lot of these FBI agents are retired now and that we have a new breed of people, or does that code overlap generations of workers?
Well, you know, it's interesting because Rowley addresses that. I want to make sure people know you got to go to Nick's interview of her. The Guardian article is great, but an article can only go so far. Nick spends an hour and a half with the agent Rowley, and she really gets into this and gets into other things like COINTELPRO and these kind of things. But, you know, what she says is that they get indoctrinated into this case. So the FBI's version, which is completely false, I've read it, they're still spouting it today, is just wrong. But they indoctrinate new agents coming in into this false narrative. Mm-hmm. And so they then misunderstand something that happened 25, 30, 50, in this case, 50 years ago.
Well, this is riveting, and I hope you guys don't mind stay on one more segment, last segment here, because this is just getting deeper and deeper for me. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Special Edition, Free Leonard Peltier Update, and we're with Kevin Sharp and Rachel Thunder, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Cafe Latte offers made-from-scratch soups, salads, sandwiches, and mouth-watering desserts. So come check out their pizza and wine bar, or get a treat from the bakery made fresh daily. Plus, you can still do online ordering and takeout, along with gift cards. Just go to cafelatte.com and choose from their ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soups. Cafe Latte is located off Victoria and Grand and online at cafelatte.com.
This is Gregory Rich, host of Drink in the Style and owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design. People often ask me, why Habitation for my home? Well, I could give you hundreds of reasons. I could talk about the extensive collection of furnishing suppliers or our exceptionally talented design team. I could talk about service. But the truth is, Habitation clients come back room after room and home after home, and that speaks volumes. Habitation, put some drama into your interiors.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves. Please join Howling for Wolves on Wolf Day, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023, at the Minnesota State Capitol. You can sign up on Howling for Wolves event page. Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Yes, welcome back. This is a special edition of Native Roots Radio, Free Leonard Peltier Update. I'm here with Rachel Thunder and Kevin Sharp, and this has been a riveting show for me, and I hope a lot of our listeners, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners, have gotten a lot of great information about this and how deep this goes. This is, we talk a little bit about, you know, this is about Leonard Peltier and Native Americans, but it's also about liberty and justice for all. And I mean, I don't want to make that a cliche, but it's really, you know, being indoctrinated, like you said, Mark, that during the interview that he had, that kind of blows my mind, but it does make sense too.
No, that's right. I mean, as Agent Rowley talks about, you know, they would have sessions to give their version of events that day, showing, you know, autopsy photos and photos from the shootout that, right, are going to have this visceral effect, right? They're meant to have that effect. It's why when I was on the bench, you really had to be careful on whether you gave those kind of photos, but because it causes an irrational reaction. And that's what it was meant to do. Now, sometimes a photo might be important for the jury to see, but usually not. You didn't need to see, you know, a dead body, because that leads you to think emotionally, right? I want to, you know, send someone to prison for that. Anyone, it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. And so, you know, you're absolutely right. And it does sound kind of a little cliche, and it's, you know, is this not some kind of Superman episode, but liberty and justice for all, equal protection under the law, they mean things. Mm-hmm. Those are real phrases that have real effects mm-hmm. on the lives of real people. And we cannot forget that. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah, exactly.
And if this can happen to Leonard, if they can do this and do it, you know, not in a spotlight, but do this behind the scenes, then they can do this to anyone. Mm-hmm. And the entire system then begins to crumble.
Yeah. Say, Rachel, when you were in Washington meeting with the politicians, what was their response? Because I know when we had the first Native American presidential forum in Iowa, I was down there and we did a live show there. But we had an opportunity to vet and ask questions for all the politicians that were running for president. And I just said two words, Leonard Peltier. And believe it or not, 80% of the people ran did know who he was, but they kind of stumbled their way through the response.
I would say that in our meetings, the majority of the individuals in the meetings were educated on who Leonard Peltier was. They might have not known all of the facts of the cases, of the case regarding Leonard Peltier, but they knew who Leonard was. They knew that we had been doing the walk. And, you know, we had these meetings scheduled. So, of course, they had time to kind of prepare and educate themselves. But then, you know, there were those that didn't know. But once you get into the history and the context and the continued injustice and what it means for our people and for all people, you know, then you get some eyebrows raised, you know, there's some looks of surprise of how this injustice continues in a system that's supposed to ride on justice. You know, and there's a couple of things I wanted to bring up. I know that we had mentioned people writing their representatives, senators, the White House. I want to also urge, you know, tribally enrolled members to reach out to your nation and encourage, you know, the different nations, those federal nations, to write letters to the White House, you know, from their sovereignty advocating for the release of Leonard Peltier. And then I also wanted to touch a little bit on Colleen Rowley's interview that, you know, what happened with Nick Estes. And I encourage everybody to go and watch that. Go watch that hour and a half interview, because there's a lot of information in there. But one of the main takeaways from that for me was, you know, she was with the FBI as a field agent here in Minneapolis for, I believe, 23 or 25 years before mm-hmm. she hired. And she talked a little bit about like the COINTELPRO days and then how it has resurfaced over the years, given whatever political reason comes up to kind of reinstate it, and the messiness and the injustice that comes with COINTELPRO. And there's a lot of people that say that that doesn't exist or those kind of things don't exist anymore. But, you know, I think at the beginning of the walk here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the Star Tribune wrote an article and the retired FBI association provided comment against Leonard Peltier's release. So it goes right along with right back in the day when she was saying that, you know, her bosses were writing op-eds against the clemency of Leonard Peltier. You know, and touches too on what Kevin was saying, you know, what she mentioned in that interview that, you know, when they were in training there, at, you know, when she was in training to be an FBI agent, that on days when they couldn't go outside because the weather was too bad, they would have workshops or lectures specifically on the FBI's narrative regarding Leonard Peltier, and that it would be constantly brought up at conferences and those kind of things, and that it continued on like throughout her career. So like creating this narrative and this blinding group loyalty to what is right and wrong. And what we're asking for is to right this wrong that has gone on now for nearly 50 years. And, you know, that's something that the Biden administration has, you know, ran on since the beginning, since, you know, since he was running for presidency, is righting these wrongs of the past. You know, he talked a lot about that when George Floyd was murdered here in Minneapolis. This is a wrong that needs righted, and it should have never happened. We shouldn't even be sitting here having this conversation. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So we're down to 2 minutes here. Kevin, I want to give you opportunity, 1 minute here to just give a quick, I don't know, plea or anything you'd like to say in this last minute, and then I'll go to Rachel and then the show will be over. This was just an awesome show, and I really appreciate Rachel staying in touch with this, with me, with this such important this important deal here. It's just, so Kevin, go ahead.
Thanks for having us on and letting us continue to talk about Leonard. It's such an important issue. You know, the biggest thing is, as we talked about these narratives, the FBI has their narrative, and it goes unchallenged, even by the media until recently, that, you know, the newspapers will report about this and then say, you know, Leonard Peltier, Native American, who was convicted of murdering two FBI agents. You know, you got to dig a little deeper. That's lazy, because that's not what he was convicted of initially. But once it was discovered that they knew he had not shot those agents, they knew it when they tried him. They hid the evidence of that. That's not the narrative, but it's the one that the FBI continues to push. The White House and our senators, your congressmen, need to know that that is not the narrative, that the people out here care about Leonard. They care about the truth and they care about justice. Please, you know, help free Leonard Peltier. That's what everyone can do. And I beg people to do that. Don't walk away and go, man, Robert had a really interesting show. Now, you know, What's on CBS tonight? Can't do that. Please pick up the phone, you know, type out an email.
Rachel, 30 seconds.
Sorry.
No problem.
That was good. No, I would say, like, let's keep this momentum going. Let's keep this momentum going. That was with the letter from the House, from the letter from the senators, from the human, from the Human Rights Commission, United Nations, from the ex-prosecutor, from, you know, this Colin Powell interview. And let's keep the pressure here. And if you can, you can make it on February the 6th here at the Federal Courthouse.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.